From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of December 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Fake. She's from Stuart Peterson. The Chinese have been into the market to buy some soybeans. We'll hear about that. We'll also check in on the farm bill. It's now making its way through the House. Yesterday, it passed the Senate, and the president says he will sign it, so that should get done during the lame duck session. We'll hear more about what's happening there, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast too with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson. Jackie, thanks for being with us. Early today, as we started the trade, soybeans were up about 9 cents. They fell off later in the day. However, that was maybe on an unknown destination for a cargo of soybeans. That looked like Chinese purchasing usually looks, or at least that's what you normally tell me. And then later in the day, around, I don't know, 10:50 or so, we started to get some news that the Chinese actually have been in the marketplace. What'd you think of that?
Well, I think we finally answered the question, will they or won't they, you know, and what does immediately mean? That's 10 days ago that they said that. You know, there's some things that can be done when you're looking at sales. If sales are under 100, they don't necessarily, they're not required to report them. So they might have been buying for a while already, but it doesn't make a difference. It was a good thing, and yet it's disappointing to have seen beans up 9 and then, and you know, then fall back. I think that some of that, and I'm going to jump right over to Brazil right now, might be related to the fact that they suspended the fines for not paying the minimum freight last week Friday. And so now the, you know, the truckers were talking about striking over the weekend, but when you looked at last May, Temer, who is the old president who will be leaving, he gave the truckers anything they wanted. He wasn't going to fight them. But Bolsonaro is in a whole different situation, and he's known as the law and order president. So it's not very likely he's going to give in to any demands. And so far, basically, you haven't heard anything. So it looks like the black market for freight is likely to return, meaning many truckers just took a lower freight rate in between the time that they were setting up the fines so that they could keep working in May. Very likely they're going to do that now. And so I think that is probably put a little bit of a damper on our jump, because what it says is it means that beans will start to move down in South America now, which they haven't been moving very well at all. And so the ramifications to us, of course, is that we're not up as much as we'd like to be. And now they announced that they're going to hold up the payments on that second half for beans, just to see if these trade issues are resolved, which I think hints that maybe we will see some more big buying come down the pike pretty soon.
Yeah. So on the Brazil thing, let's stay with that for just a moment. So we've got truckers beginning to move. That would probably be old crop. The new crop, soybeans, maybe just about a month away from harvest at this point. So I guess they're maybe ready to go. And USDA yesterday in the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates upped that number for their production to what? 122 million metric tons,
yep.
If I remember correctly.
Yep.
That's kind of a big number for down there. it just keeps getting bigger, right?
Yes, we had records. You know, it was a record when it was 112. It was a record when it was 114. You know, and this is another record. And some of that relates directly back to the fact that we're seeing them expand into the Cerrado. And you know, the Cerrado is an area where it's very easy to clear. There's no trees. It's all like scrub brush, you know, and that type of thing. It used to be used for livestock. And they've decided that they want to do that. Now, one of the things that's happening there is they're having some heavy rains up in the northeastern part of Brazil, and that's causing a lot of problems on the Trans-Cerrado Highway, which is the main highway in this expansion area. It's 340 kilometers. And the government, they've been begging the government, you know, to asphalt the road. Well, they've been working for 4 years on putting in the asphalt, and they just have a tiny little part completed. So the pictures I've seen are just horrific. in terms of trucks being stuck in the mud. And these are current pictures. They're not old pictures. So, you know, everything isn't sweet. The only thing that's good for them is that they're pretty close to the export market, you know, because they are way up in the north. And so it's not as bad as it would be if you were, let's say, in Mato Grosso. But it's interesting to watch this. And so we're going to continue, I think, year after year for quite a while, Todd, to see them come up with more record production numbers when it comes to beans.
Yeah, so 122 million metric tons from them, according to the United States Department of Agriculture's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate report yesterday. Anything else from that kind of a yawner of a report that you made note of?
Well, it was kind of a yawner, I guess. You know, when you looked at the corn carryout in the U.S., especially a yawner, because we went up on corn carryout, we went up on wheat carryout, we stayed the same on beans. And at the world level, it was kind of interesting because we actually saw them increase the carryout from 17-18 to 18-19, and that had an impact, but on corn. But we also saw the carryout increase on corn at the world level. We saw them do the same thing in beans, except in beans it actually, the carry in from 17-18 actually got smaller, and yet we still ended up with a larger number, you know. And so it makes for a situation where you just continue to see the expanse and the expansion going on wheat. We were in the same situation, and there too we saw the world numbers get higher. You know, the world, it's interesting when you talk about wheat, Todd, because, you know, Russia is really stepping up on exports in wheat. And there's a lot of talk here in the U.S., of course, you know, that, you know, Australia has just had a terrible, terrible wheat crop, but it appears that Russia is going to have enough to be able to make up for it plus. And so, I think the one bright light we were all looking for was, you know, what's going to happen? Is wheat going to be able to help us? And that's a question that's going to remain out there.
You sometimes take a look at the ending stocks numbers and give us some deviations of what that really means. So when you look out to the fall of 2019, what do you think the range is for ending stocks based on the USDA's ending stocks figure and the deviations they put forth?
Yeah, well, this month the deviation got a little tighter by 2%. It's only 37.3% now. We're at 1.78 for carryout on the report. That means it could go as high as 2.4 or as low as 1.1. On exports, they're 27.4%. That's better than last month also, and it should be because we're getting that much closer to the end of the year. 2.45 means we could be as high as 3.1 or as low as 1.8. I don't have any information, Todd, on soybeans itself, but on soy meal, which many times is a leader in the marketplace, their confidence on ending stocks rose from 48.7% to 58.5%. In other words, they're much less confident right now than what they were a month ago. And so I'm not sure if that is, I would think it's related to some of the things that are going on with exports, but you just don't know. So it's going to be interesting. It could be soy oil. You know, if soy oil demand isn't as good, basically you end up with more soy meal. If soy oil is good, you end up with more soy meal stocks, basically, is what it comes down to. Sorry, speaking backwards there. Yeah.
That's all right. Hey, export inspections, what they look like for the week?
Well, actually, we saw some improvements. It was kind of interesting. Wheat went from 19 down to 17% behind, and beans went from 43 to 42. The one that's a little scary is corn went from 80% ahead to 75% ahead. So it's showing some slowing on the corn side, and that's basically what we've been fearing for a while. So we'll have to see once what next week brings.
I was thinking about where we are today with cash prices, and I haven't gone back to check this, but maybe you have a chart in front of you as compared to last year at this time. How are we doing?
Well, when you look at the estimate, these are all estimates, of course, but for 17-18 wheat 472, they're expecting 18-19 to be 515 average, corn 336, and next year's they're expecting 360, soybeans 933 for this year. This is the one dark spot at the moment. 860 is what they're saying, so that would be 73 cents less than it was a year ago, and let's hope that's not going to be the case. But you have
those are the cash
cash price.
Yeah, those are the average cash prices out of the out of the WASD report.
Yep, that's exactly
go
what they
go
are.
Back through those again for me. What were they again? So from 1 year to the next, that's pretty interesting.
Wheat was 472. The forecast is 515 for this coming year. 336 for corn, 360 for this coming year, and beans 933 and 860 for this coming year.
Yeah, so for the when you say coming year, the marketing year we're in at this point. So
18,
by the time
19.
We get to the time we get to the end, that's what they think the average cash price all across the whole of the US will be. Pretty
that's
interesting
right.
stuff. Managed money. Did they move anything this week?
Well, yeah, actually they have. When you looked at the wheat, they went from 24,000 short to 30,000 short. But when it came to beans, 14,000 short now compared to 39 last week. Soy oil improved, 57 short compared to 69. When you look at corn, we went to 52,000 long versus 35,000 short, excuse me. And we had 6,000 short versus even last week on soy meal. So yes, to answer the question, they're moving around a lot. There's no question about that. And this is the time of year that you see that happen, Todd, because, you know, they're repositioning, they're taking profits, they're doing all kinds of stuff. And with what we've had going on over in Dow, we know that there are guys, you know, they use this market to hedge their portfolio in the Dow. So when you have the big moves in the Dow that we've seen, it's not unusual to see a lot of changes going on just overall, not necessarily managed money, but overall in the marketplace.
And finally, Farm Bill. Senate passed it yesterday. The president, there were a lot of things happening in that discussion he had with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi yesterday, at least at the beginning of it, said, you know, the Farm Bill is bipartisan and it's a great deal. So it looks like he'll sign it. It's up to the House.
Yeah.
Will it make very much of a difference to the trade or to producers?
For producers, it's always a level of confidence. So it's nice to have it behind you. And we're such a tiny, tiny part of the Farm Bill. It's just unbelievable, but it has an immense impact on us. And I think one of the big things that a lot of people are excited about is the legalization of industrial hemp. You know, it's another commodity product, basically. And I'm not sure we're going to see it traded on the market, though, to be honest with you, but you never know. And so I think it's probably going to pass this week, and that'll just be another thing, you know, behind us, and that's what we need.
Hey, thanks so much. Always interesting. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Todd. Have a good day.
You too. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson, joins us on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. A quick reminder that I'll be on the road all next week with the agricultural economist from the U of I for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. Those are at 5 cities across the state. We'll be in Mount Vernon, Springfield, Peoria, DeKalb, and Champaign. Again, that's Mount Vernon, Springfield, Peoria, DeKalb, and Champaign. You can check out all the details online right now at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Your banker, I can tell you with some confidence, is likely to be at one of these meetings if you're in the state of Illinois. You probably should be too. The cost is $90 if you've not already purchased your ticket, because you'll just show up that morning, and that'll include your lunch at the noon hour. This program starts in the morning, finishes up at the noon hour again. We'll be on the road all next week. I hope that you will catch up with us for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. Find out the details online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. In today's agricultural news, the U.S. Senate advanced the 2018 Farm Bill to the House of Representatives with an 87-13 vote yesterday afternoon. Called the Agriculture Improvement Act of 2018, the bill was signed and released by the Conference Committee this week, paving the way for consideration on the Senate floor before passage. Senate Ag Committee Chairman Pat Roberts echoed a familiar phrase.
This may not be the best possible bill. We know that, but it is the best bill possible under these circumstances.
The House of Representatives is set to debate and vote on the measure as early as today. In asking for support of the bill, Roberts says the entire agriculture industry is watching as tough economic times bring a dire need for the programs within the Farm Bill.
Every farmer, every ranch, every grower, everyone within our nation's food supply is watching to see if we cannot meet our obligations and pass this bill. So let us do that. Let us tell those farmers and ranchers and growers who are going through tough times that they're going to be good for the next 5 years.
Voting against the bill were Senators John Kyle of Arizona, Rand Paul of Kentucky, Marco Rubio of Florida, Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Jeff Flake of Arizona, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, Mike Lee of Utah, Mike Enzi of Wyoming, John Brascio of Wyoming, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, John Kennedy of Louisiana, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. Now, you may be wondering why it is that Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley is among those voting no. He says it's because he's tried without success in three different farm bills, including this one, to end payment loopholes that he calls big enough now to drive a John Deere combine through them. The latest bill adding nieces and nephews on top of cousins. Grassley, prior to the Senate vote Tuesday, blamed Senate Ag Chair Pat Roberts and demands of Southern farm interest in the House for the failure, but he says Roberts did the best he could in getting a final bill.
So I'm going to, regardless of my respect for Roberts, I'm going to vote against this farm bill.
Grassley says he does not want to be viewed as intellectually dishonest by voting for a bill he fought so hard to change and will continue to oppose non-farm managers getting payments.
I'm not going to give up, but the best chance is every 5 years when you have a farm bill. And, you know, I'm 85 years old, 90 when I run for re-election. Am I going to get it done? And you never know whether you're going to live long enough to get it done. So I'm going to be looking for other avenues.
Here's a different view on that from the American Farm Bureau Federation's Andrew Walmsley.
Unfortunately, we disagree with Senator Grassley and his view and how risk management programs should be structured. You know, Farm Bureau's take is anybody that's involved in the operation that takes on risk should be eligible for those risk management programs. And certainly where commodity prices are today, adding additional restrictions or regulations on farmers and ranchers isn't the appropriate route to take.
Walmsley says overall it's a pretty good farm bill, not reducing the current $900,000 adjusted gross income limit for farm payments, improving ARC and PLC, and allowing annual selections after 2020. Other pluses, he says, include continued strong support for crop insurance, expanded EQIP, CSP, and CRP, a new dairy margin coverage program that helps smaller dairies, and authority for a new foot and mouth disease vaccine bank. The bill, which passed out of conference and has now passed through the Senate and is expected to be signed by President Trump should the House also pass it, leaves out the strict work requirements House Republicans had desired. The bill, however, does cut SNAP funding by almost $1.1 billion. House Speaker Paul Ryan says the bill provides the certainty agriculture needs, and while also focusing on SNAP in his comments, will help people get into the workforce.
This is an effort that is a great step in the right direction. It will help us get people out of poverty, into careers, into skills, and this is something we should be passing and putting on the president's desk momentarily.
Again, the U.S. Senate approved the Farm Bill legislation yesterday on a vote of 87 to 13. The House today adopted a set of rules for the Farm Bill debate, 206 to 203, setting up the final congressional vote on the legislation, probably for later this afternoon. That rule was saved by five Democrats voting for it, including Minnesota Democrat Colin Peterson, who has helped shepherd the bill through Congress. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. When we come back, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. We'll talk about what's been happening in South America and the weather here in the United States with agricultural meteorologist from Kansas City, Drew Lerner, on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Please do visit our website, willag.org, and more importantly, you might sign up to listen to us as a podcast. You can find the podcast pages there at willag.org. Look for the podcast link. It should take take you to a podcast page where you can get yourself signed up. Otherwise, it's probably easier to do a couple of other things. Just look into iTunes if you're an Apple user, iPhone. If you are an Android user, you can look into the Google Play Store for a podcast app and then search for the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week. Either way, those two programs should come up. And of course, one of my favorite ways is on either of those devices just to use the NPR One app. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is now here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, I see on Twitter that there are a few in Brazil that are talking about, even in Argentina, I suppose, some dry weather conditions that are hampering what they say is the development of their soybean crop. Is this likely to be a problem in the future or not?
Well, it certainly is going to be a problem for yet another week to week and a half. Possibly. There will not be a large volume of rainfall in interior southern parts of Brazil in particular. I think most of Argentina's drier pocketed areas will be fine, but I mean, they'll get relief. The Paraguay and parts of Mato Grosso do Sul, southernmost parts of Mato Grosso, portions of Paraná and the western São Paulo are the areas that will not see good rainfall over the next week and a half or so. They'll have a few showers. It won't be absolutely dry, but it won't be enough to counter evaporation with temperatures running in the 90s on a daily basis. The soil is already firmed up, the topsoil has at least. The subsoil is still rated favorably, but this is an area that has sandier soil, and because of that, a lot of this dryness is really already having a negative impact on some of these crops, and there is a number of locations there that we are hearing the soybean crop is already in the pod setting and filling stage of development, and having dryness now, which is already 10 days old in some cases, is a bit stressful, and it is potentially hurting some of the yield potentials. Now, the crops are in heavier soils. I don't think that's much of an issue right now because there is such good subsoil moisture around. But the forecast is not advertising a large volume of rain. So I do think that we're going to see an increase in stress over this next week. And then we'll see what kind of relief we get in the last 10 days of this month. There will be showers and thunderstorms. I'm just not convinced how substantial they might be.
Well, let's move from there to the United States, where I think we will have rainfall, at least in my part of the world, over the next couple of days. Is that right?
That is right. Yet another storm system and seemingly endless series of them. It will be moving across the Midwest. This is a low-pressure center that will form in eastern Texas here tomorrow and work its way east-northeastward and spread rain across the southern parts of the Midwest and be focused primarily on the Delta and the southeastern states. Now, of course, the Carolinas and Virginia already got slammed with a pretty nasty storm this past weekend, and there's still snow on the ground in some of those areas. They have to melt that snow off before they can ever think about getting into the fields. And, well, it's going to melt, but it's also going to be followed by another 1.5 to 1.5 inches of rain and maybe some 2-inch-plus amounts in a few locations. So the problems in the Carolinas and southward into Georgia and Alabama and northern Florida will continue. They are not done with harvesting. In fact, the cotton crop is still I think they've got about a third of that crop still left to be harvested, and the quality continues to slide. But for the heart of the Midwest, most of the precipitation will be in the lower parts of the region. We'll look for rain totals running anywhere from 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch, a couple of spots over 1.5 inches. And then we'll finally go into a drier weather pattern that should dominate most of next week.
Thanks, Drew. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. I'm Todd Gleason.